It's great and awesome to see what God is doing. Today is really historical. And I just, as I was praying, I saw the devil running away with like a dog with his tail between his legs, just being so afraid of what is happening here today, because that's what God is doing. And nou gee hulle vir my nog minder spasie om rond te hardloop hier voor. Carlos het geweet ek hardloop baie keer 'n bietjie rond. But I really believe that, you know, God is doing an amazing thing here this morning. And just this week, it just happened, like I spoke to the previous minister of police from the old days, Adrian Vlok. And just to hear what his testimony was about, and I don't know if you know, but his life turned around and he really came to repentance. He was probably the only one in the history of South Africa so far that has said sorry for apartheid. And he went to wash a lot of the people's feet, and especially families' feet, of who he gave sort of authority to. He didn't actually give the command, but he was in command at that time. And he said, well, there's only one that can reconcile us. There's only one that can bring us together and take a hard heart like it took mine and forgive me and give me the ability to forgive others. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings and breaks down barriers. And it was just so amazing to see that God can do anything with anyone that are just surrendered to him. Anybody that can come, I don't know, maybe you think you're good today, and I want to tell you, you're not good. And maybe you think you're sharp, but you're not really sharp. We as the human race have got this tendency to think, well, ons het gearriveer, ons is hier, ons is eindelijk maar 'n bietjie slim, ons kan... But we haven't even been to all the places in the world, just on the earth. We haven't even been to under the sea where all the kilometers down there. We haven't got a clue what's going on there. So we can rest assured this morning that we're actually clueless and we're actually just trying, you know, to do something. But when we lock into God, when we start to follow God, when we start to say yes to the Lord, he begins to show us that there's a way, there's a place, there's something he wants to do. And I want to talk about that today and give us a scripture of what happened with the first church. We all know this scripture, and I'm just going to read it very slowly, but before we're going to do that, we're going to pray. Are you ready to pray? But I'm not going to pray. We're all going to pray together. Because when you come to God, you must come to God with an expectation. He's here. Ons moet met 'n verwagting kom. Want as ons honger is, dan gaan ons baie kry. Maar as jy vir iemand kos gee wat al klaar 'n 3-gang maaltyd geëet het, dan gaan hy net soos al sê, ek is eintlik maar versadig. Jy weet, dan is hy mal vir pudding in die kaster, dis nie so lekker nie. Na die tyd, nie, as jy nou 3-gang maaltyd geëet het, maar as jy honger is en jy het vir 2 dae nie kos gehad nie, dan doen jy desperate dinge. How many of you can agree with me? You know, then you are desperate. You know, sometimes you eat all the food of your wife in her plate. You know, you even eat broccoli. I don't know if you know the thing about broccoli, but broccoli, if you have it on your plate, it grows. That's why you have to eat it first. You have to kill that thing in the plate, otherwise it grows. It really grows, you know. Now, you know, the problem is if you don't have kids, it's all right. But now when you have got kids, now you have to set the example in these kids. And then you've got the wife on the other side of the table just at that stage. She doesn't need to say anything. You will eat your broccoli today. Yeah? Because you need to set the example. And then I just go in, I get a sharp knife and I kill that thing just very quickly. I make sure I've got something to drink with it because I just like have to get it down, you know. But it's like almost broccoli, so that's got nothing to do with nothing that I want to say. But sometimes, you know, God does not expect us to be perfect. But when we come to him, we come with an expectation. We come with a hunger. We come with a thirst. Because we know he's the only one that can satisfy us. So if you want to, you don't need to, but I want you just to sit with somebody quickly, and we're going to pray to God. We're going to say, God, thank you that your word changes us, because it's the only thing that's eternal and will never change. It's you and your word. We change. As we're sitting here, we're shedding some blood cells and skin and all that stuff. Blood is, we're doing a lot of things as we, but God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So kom ons bid gou saam met iemand langs jou somme. Ons gaan almal saam bid en sê, Here, ek het 'n honger en 'n dors na U. I have got an expectation, a thirst and a hunger after You. Thank you, Father, that this morning we can come to you and we are hungry and we're thirsty for your life. We are hungry and we're thirsty for you alone. Come and fill us with your word. Come and satisfy us, Lord, with your presence like you're already doing, Lord. Thank you that you've been here long before we've opened the doors this morning to this place. And thank you that you want to touch each one of us in a special way. Thank you, Father, for your life and your life in abundance. Lord, thank you, Jesus, we invite you today as the Savior, as the healer, as the deliverer, as the one who sets us free. Thank you, Lord, that every prison door will open up today. Every oppressed person in this place will go free because, Lord, you are here. And thank you that we can change when you are here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 2. Ons gaan maar die Engels hou, so kom ons bly maar daar eers 'n rukkie. As jy nie lekker verstaan nie, maak net asof jy verstaan. Dis altyd lekker want jy's dalk 'n videokamera hier rond en dan vang hulle nou jou op die videokamera wat nou okay, maar in elk geval. So Handelinge 2, Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly, there came, oh, that was baie goed. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Okay, so very simply, I need to give you a little bit of background. We all know it. I'm just going to repeat for those maybe who don't know it. But there were a group of disciples, a group of followers of Jesus, and they walked with him. They had an expectation that Jesus is going to literally rule on the earth. At a stage, two of the disciples, the sons of Zebedee, they came and the mother came and they said to Jesus, Jesus, we just want to tell you that I want to sit on your right-hand side. And the other one said, I want to sit on your left-hand side. And at a stage, the people tried to force Jesus to be king because they were under oppression. There were lots of negative stuff and the Roman Empire was ruling over the Jewish nation. So here comes Jesus in the fullness of time. And these people had a certain expectation of Jesus. It was the wrong expectation because there were Jewish rabbis or Pharisees and Sadducees. And for all these years, they said something specific. They said that there's going to be two messiahs that's going to come to rescue them. And so they took some of the scriptures out of the Old Testament, out of Isaiah specifically. And they said, these messiahs, here messiahs, he's going to save you, but he's going to rule. There's going to be two. One is going to save, one is going to suffer, and one is going to rule. And they said the first one that's going to come, he's going to rule and reign. And then the second one that's going to come, he's going to suffer. It's going to be bad for him. And scripture actually says that there's actually one, and he's first going to suffer, and then he's going to rule. So these people around Jesus even had this sort of idea that this man is going to rule, and he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. So we're going to do it with force so that even right at the end, there was a little disciple, his name was Peter, a very wild guy, that at the end when they wanted to take Jesus, he cut off the ear of the one soldier because he said, we're going to fight. We're going to get this because Jesus just called down your lightning, called down your fire because if there's sin, we're going to rule and reign. We want to sit with you on this earth and in this earth. And so what happens, we all know the story, Jesus dies. He dies. All the dreams, all this stuff, he hangs on the cross. And these disciples are completely thrown. Because their expectation of this Jesus is now suddenly, they have to realign themselves. They have to completely get into another focus again, yeah? And so half of them, now all of them, run away. Except the women. Praise the Lord for women. Dankie Here for vrouwens. Hulle hou ons op die straight en die narrow. Okay? Kan die mans amen sê? Say, our woman. I'm saying, okay. So they had this expectation. They all run away, and now Jesus is relaxed, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And he says, look here, but when I need to go away because I'm going to send the helper to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But you just need to do something. You need to go up to a little room there, and you need to sit there and wait for me in Jerusalem. Not in Nazareth, not in the place where you used to, not in the place where you're comfortable, because you know what? If God sends you for a promise, if God sends you for something in your life, it's never going to be comfortable. Hello? It's not going to be in your comfort zone. It's always going to be out of your comfort zone. Why? Because I've got good news for you. There's always going to be change in your relationship with God. And the good news where we start with is very simply that it's not God that's going to change. Guess who? It's like marriage. You get married, you stand there, you do all your I do's. It's wonderful. But there's lots of change that's going to happen. Okay? Angus say altijd, my borskas het nou 'n hangkas geword. Alles hier bo skuif 'n bietjie af. You know, there's lots of things that change. You know? But you know, very simply, they are going now, Jesus gave them, they saw him go up into the heavens, and now they're still not ready. You know, even Peter, right at the end, they want to go back to fishing. They want to go back to what they used to. And this is a challenge for some of us, and I believe especially for Worcester, because God wants to do something here that we're not used to. And it's going to cost all of us to get a bit out of our comfort zones. Move a little bit to where God wants to move. And this is exactly what Pentecost was about. So Jesus says to them, go to that little room up there, go into the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. Don't just wait there, don't just and drink pineapple drinks with each other. He says, what I want to tell you, there's a promise. And that's what they had a promise, they had a hope. They said, something is going to happen. Something, God is going to do something awesome. But we haven't got a clue, because if they could choose, they would probably choose that it would happen in Nazareth, where they're all used to their fishing stuff and where it's comfortable. And God sends them to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they have to sit there where everybody comes together and they lock the doors because they're afraid that people are going to come and kill them. So it was not a happy place. Hello. I don't know. I must tell you a story, because some of you look like, especially those people on the balcony, I can't see them, but praise the Lord for the light. Just wave at us up there. Okay. I don't know if you've ever had an embarrassing moment. One day, and it's all about focus, and this is what we're talking about a little bit today, that we will need to move. We need to be at the right place at the right time. But one day there at N1 City, it was raining, and my parents-in-law, they lived there, and I decided I don't like the gym. I don't like the gym at all, but I decided I'm going to go to the gym because I want to go and run. It's raining, and for 3 days it's been raining just like we have here in the Cape. Just rains, and it rains, and it rains, and then it drizzles, and then it rains more. Okay, but so yeah, I decided I'm going to go and run there at this N1 City mall thing up there. But I'm sort of uncomfortable already because I don't like, you know, but I'm going to go and get one of these machines that rolls, you know, what they call them again? Yeah, treadmills, you're right. I'm just checking if you're right. Okay, but so, so here I go, and I'm in the second row, but there's like 60 treadmills. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like all over the place. And the treadmills now, you first need to fix this thing of how to go. And so you accidentally off the rand. But you can actually stel dat hy op de rand gaan, of you can stel dat hy off the rand gaan. Maar ek is soos op die steilste off the rand. You weet, ek hardloop net off the rand. Want die ander mense wat jy kan sien, hulle hardloop kilometers, hulle lyk soms asof hulle, jy weet, hulle hardloop ure daarin. Ek gaan nie sweet nie, maar in elk geval nou is ek daar op die treadmill. Lekker besig, nou sit ek die spoed bietjie op en die spoed bietjie op. Maar nou, just like a good man, you know, we can't always focus on 5 things at the same time. So there's these big screens up there, and now it's a Pro 20 cricket match South Africa is playing. So this is happening there on the screen. So here I'm running, and I'm trying to focus, and now I get into this match. And the next moment, I can't even remember who it was, he hits a 6 out of the stadium, you know. And I, just for that one moment, that split second, I forget where I am. And I get myself into this match completely. And I go. But that's not where it stopped. The next moment I miss this treadmill. One step for mankind can lose your ego. The next moment I'm off that treadmill. At the back, over the ladies' treadmill, but now there's about 60 people on the treadmill, and there are these mirrors all around with these screens. So I can see myself going like, Kadwa, at the back. You know? It was the quickest that I got up in my life, the quickest that I got my belongings, and I was out of there. You know? It was like 10 minutes later. All the people, I saw them in the mirrors. Oh, everybody's like, Everyone's just suddenly checking at you know, the cricket match that's happening there. You know, so if you ever go to anyone's city there, at that thing, you know, my ego is still lying there on. I tried to pick up it the other day, but it just didn't work. But very simply, you know, you sometimes get yourself in a situation where you're just like, oh, my chonamachantas. Do you know that word, chonamachantas? You just want to say it. Because as a Christian, you cannot swear, but you can say chonamachantas. That's what I wanted to say that day. But very simply, you know, there I lost it. I completely lost it, you know. And it's almost that situation that these guys were in. Here they're up here in the upper room, and God does a suddenly. God does a fullness of time. God does, he says, when the time had fully come. There's a time when God does stuff in. He says, when the time had fully come, they were all with one accord. And that one accord is beautiful. It's a word symphony. It's a word coming together. It's an expectation that God is going to do something, although you are clueless of what God is going to do. And that's why I'm telling you about what has happened before this, because these disciples were locking the doors. They didn't know what was going to happen. All they knew is God gave them a promise. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit came. And today, many times people think of charismatic churches or whatever, but God wants to do something, and God is doing something in the earth. There are churches that have got more than 6 million people in one church on the face of this planet today. There's one in South Korea, Dr. Yonggi Cho, who's got 1.2 million people in one church. They're all people that are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. But with a certain expectation, it is the promise. They've received the promise of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was at school, I was very conservative. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think, oh my khuna. What's happening here? You know, these people with the music. They were like these people with curtains. I came to a church like this. They had curtains at the back, and I thought they slaughter people at the back of those curtains. I remember I was sweating. You know, scripture says that blood, water will flow from your innermost beings, but water flowed from under my armpits that day, because I was standing there. I was just thinking, these people are going to kill me. I still prayed. I said, Jesus, I know there's sin in my life, but please take me alive out of this place, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Yeah? But, you know, it's not about style, it's not about worship, it's not about noise. It's simply about a surrendered life to the promise of God. A surrendered life to the Holy Spirit. A surrendered life to that time when God moves, then you must make sure you're at the right place. Because if you were at Nazareth, you would have missed it. And so many Christians today are missing it because they have got the right heart, the right desire, but they don't understand that God only moves through two institutions. The one is marriage, and the other one is the church. That's why it's so important that we're here today and we celebrate what God is doing. He's not going to do that there, because God is raising up an army. And an army does not consist of two or three people. An army consists of a group of people that come into one accord. Then suddenly God can do that. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, when I was at school in Paul Boisei, I was grade 10. I didn't have a clue. I've never even heard of things like this. We were standing in a little room, and maybe you want to disagree with me, or you say it doesn't happen anymore. It happened to my life, so just respect that, but I want to share that with you, what has happened. I remember in those days, we still had middle paaikies. Ons het nog middle paaikies gehad, okay? In die school het allemaal een middle paaikie gehad, en hy het so ronde kuif hier voor en so ronde kuif hier gekam. Dit was die in cool ding, okay? Al die youth lag so 'n bietjie, okay? Maar daai middle paaikie, daai aand, ons was in 'n toesang klas. There was like a classroom that we were in. We were 14 guys, and we just worshiped God. There was a guy who could play the piano, and he couldn't read one note or could play any secular music, but any Christian music that you would give him, he would play it immediately without studying anything. He could just play it. And so we started to worship God. Next moment he said, well, just pray for the infilling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the next moment there were no windows. There was just a door, and the door was closed. The next moment a rushing wind came into the room. It went like, we were filled together. All 14 of us were filled together with the Holy Spirit. I remember my middle pikey was not a middle pikey anymore. Everything was this high. The wind was so, that's how I remembered. I just knew this was God. And then this guy here started to sing in these funny languages next to me, my best friend. He was so conservative, and he started to sing these Jewish languages, and I was thinking, oh, I'm freaking out. I'm going to die again, you know? But you know how many times when you follow God, it's going to feel to you, I'm going to die, I'm going to die? But that's a good place to be. You know, Angus always says it takes a live fish to swim against the current, but a dead fish to float with it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a dead fish. And now I am not getting to the sermon at all. Okay. But we're just enjoying itself. Just check somebody next to you and say, you're still looking good today. You're still looking fresh. Okay. Let's go on. Next slide. On verse 4. So here these guys have got an expectation. They're living in this little room up there. It's not comfortable. 120 people in a small little room for many days. And most of us, especially Afrikaner type of people and Western people, we like to figure out. We would say to Jesus like this, Jesus, I will go to that room, but tell me exactly how many days, what will be the provision of food, and what are we going to do? Because Lord, I will wait there for 2 days, but after 2 days, you better do a thing here. Jesus didn't tell them how long. He said, just wait. Have an expectation of my promise. So here verse 4, it happens. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Boosterites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and the Western Cape, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, all these nice. Phrygia, here comes verse 10. The names get worse. Don't call your kids these names, okay? Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, then they go on. Cretans and Arabs. So there were lots of people there with different languages, different cultures. And then these people say, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So these people were together. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were not expecting this, but suddenly there was such a rush inside of this building that the whole community out there started to get confused and say, what on earth is happening there in the Stadtsaal this morning? What on earth is... something is... this doesn't work. You know? Now, all these people came up to this little upper room where these people came out from. Arabs and all these different people, different cultures, because all the Jewish men had to be there for the feast. The feast of Pentecost, which was the feast of the harvest, where you brought the first part of your harvest. So, the Holy Spirit came for a very specific purpose. And then verse 12, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said they were full of new wine. So some people are going to ask, well, what on earth does this mean? And other people are going to make fun of you as a Christian. Did you know that? When you start to embrace the promise of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get lots of people that laugh at you. But they laughed at Jesus. And so we just need to remain focused. But now it goes on. Peter stands up, this little man that just wanted to fight a couple of chapters before. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your own men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show them wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoa. So God gives this promise, and Peter stands up right in the middle and says, look here, what is happening here today has happened many, God has prophesied it many years before. Because now all these people, these crowds of people are coming, and they're saying, well, these people that just come out of the upper room, they are from Nazareth, they're Galileans, and they're not supposed to speak in our language. But what has happened, these people started to speak in all these different languages supernaturally without them going to classes to learn French, without them having the ability to know what they say. A supernatural manifestation, a supernatural decree over a whole community that would change the face of the earth. And that's why we're sitting here today, is because of what has happened there, the start, the birth of the church, or the release of the church. Let me rather say that Jesus birthed the church. So very simply, they come, all these people come together, and now suddenly they begin to say, now these people are speaking in my language. How on earth can that be? And so when we understand why we're here together and why God sends the Holy Spirit in the fullness of time to us, it's very simply so that we can learn to speak the language of the people out there. God has called us together with a certain purpose. God has called these two beautiful churches to come together for a specific purpose. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But in the world that we are living in, the world is waiting for a group of people that can stand up and say, look here, these people are not drunk, they're not weird, they're not funny, they're not trying to do a sideshow, or they're not trying to play church. Otherwise, they would have been in Nazareth. They are here because God wants to meet with you. And then it says, it describes that in the last days, that chapter in Joel, it says in the last days there's going to be very bad stuff happening. I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you. Which one do you want first? The bad news. The good news. Okay, let's start with the good news. The good news is that we're living in a terrible world and it's not going to get easier. The bad news is it's going to get worse. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, you know, we as the human race and what's happening, it's just going to get better. I've just been in Thailand, in Cambodia, in Vietnam. And when you see the child sex trade and the stuff happening there, and then you see the tens of thousands of Europeans that go there to abuse the children sexually and to abuse the prostitutes there, and to, you know, and that's why those countries, they exist for the sex trade, for nonsense like that. But it's the Europeans that are feeding them, giving them the money that's supporting that. When you look at what's happening around us, you realize, whoa, our world is in a bad place. It's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I tell you very honestly, it's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be fooled. Don't be ostrich, Christian. We're living in a very terrible time. And you can hear it, you know. And that doesn't mean we're afraid. That just means we need to focus on the promise of God. Because in the midst of chaos, in the midst of oppression like the Roman Empire, in the midst of stuff around us, God always has a promise. You just need to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right expectation, and then the promise comes. But don't put a decree on God. I remember meeting, and I need to rush. I remember meeting a guy who was instrumental in praying for Uganda and the revival in Uganda. His name is John. And lots of things happened in Uganda that changed that nation. The HIV percentage dropped. And he said one day after many years of praying, and sometimes they had to flee into the mountains as Christians to pray just for their safety and for their country, and God turned everything around. He said one day as he was praying, God asked him a question. He said, John, do you think I as God need man's counsel? And John said to him, Lord, I can answer this one quickly. No, you don't need any counsel. You're God. You're perfect. So the Lord asked him again. No, and when God asks you twice or three times, don't answer it so quickly, okay? The second time the Lord asked him again, he said, John, do you think I need counsel? Denk jy ek het mense die mensdom se raad nodig en se wysheid nodig? Hy sê, nee, Here. Definitief nie. Jy is God, jy is almagtig, jy is alomteenwoordig, jy is wonderbaarlik, jy is fantasties. Here, jy is alles. En die Here vra hom weer, John, do you think I as God need man's counsel? And then he was silent. And then the Lord, when he was silent finally, the Lord said to him something very profound. He said, John, why is it so that every time you come to me, John, you tell me what I must do, when I must do it, and how I must do it? And he said his prayer life changed after that. He started to listen more than just make a lot of noise. Because he understood God has got a plan. And I want to tell you this morning that God has got a plan for Worcester. God has a plan for this nation. God has a plan for people to come together, but it's his plan, and it will always be according to his ways, not our ways. And that's so beautiful about following God. That's so beautiful about us coming together here today to celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Scripture says there that when the Holy Spirit comes out, and Joel prophesied it, that things are going to happen and it's going to be bad stuff. On the one side, he says, he starts, people are going to dream dreams and they're going to see visions. Old people and young people are going to come together. And I just want to say this very profoundly, but I believe it's from God, that God wants to raise up in this place the different generation and the different cultures to come together to bring into synergy and unity the things that God wants. Amen. That was a good place to say amen. Turn to someone next to you and say amen. I said it in English or sin. Okay. Amen. Ooh, some people are very silent there at the back. Everybody on that crowd is still right there at the back? Just wave at me there. Okay. Oh, no, it's just half of the people, just like five people at the back. Just wave that crowd on that side. Okay, wonderful. Sien, woester kan 'n mens dit mos doen, ja man. Jy kan mos. Jy loop hier oor die straat partykeer en dan skree ons vir mekaar aan die ander kant. Ons is nie net soos, I love what Reinhard Bonke says. He says, dignity is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Be wild for Jesus, man. Yeah. Don't scream for the stormers and then Sunday morning when you come to church, you're like, ooh, we need to be dignified, you know. Stiff upper lip. I don't know, some Christians, they seem like they drink prune juice every morning before they come to church. Like, yeah? Broccoli, they eat broccoli, ja. Ek weet, daar is party van julle, julle vrou gaan of julle broccoli gee vanmiddag, maar moet nie so sad like al oor, jy geniet ten minste die kerk, okay? But very simply, you know, God says right at the end of that promise in Joel, he says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, remember, I'm going to end off with this story. I had a grandma that was very stubborn. Very stubborn. And she was just like, you know, and the reason for that is because she was hurt a lot, you know. My granddad cheated on her. Went into adultery for 10 years. She tried to hide it because, you know, the community and, you know, in ons kom van Caledonaf, you weet, so daar, ek weet nie of het hier in Woester ook baie keer so is, but somebody like just, you know, trips over the pavement in the middle of the main road, and then the rumor goes so quickly that the next day you hear that somebody is in the intensive care in the Worcester hospital, you know. They have, their leg was amputated, you know. And meantime, they just have like a sore toe, you know, like a toenail that got a bit hurt, you know. But that's like small places, sometimes the rumors go like, you know. And that's why we're talking about good rumors today, because the good rumor went out into the community, and that's what God is going to do here. No more bad rumors, just the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But so my grandmama, she was very stubborn and she was very hurt as a person. Although she loved God, she had the fear of God in her life. But she didn't really have a relationship with God. It's amazing how you can know a lot about God, but it doesn't mean that you know God. That you have a place where that hardness of heart becomes soft and you can relate to Him and you can speak to Him. And He speaks to you and you have this communication, you have this friendship relationship. That's what Abraham had. Abraham was a friend of God. And Jesus was called the friend of sinners. Jesus was not called the judger of sinners. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I would tell you, I'm not judging you and we're not judging you. We're just inviting you to life, to come to friendship with God. But then you have to do it on His terms. You can't do it on your own terms. You can't save yourself. A drowning person cannot save themselves. If you go under in that water, if you ever saw a drowning person, I saw one. They say when you swim out to that person, don't let them grab you because they're going to pull you under. They are so desperate. That's what salvation means, is the place that we call out to a God because we know we are desperate. We need Him. So my grandma was on her deathbed, lying in hospital in the ICU one day. And I knew that she did not know God, although she went to church all of her life. And she was God-fearing. She had a respect for God. But she didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So I went to her and I said to her, Oma, ek wil vandag vir jou bid, maar ek wil bid dat jy die Here sal aanvaar in jou lewe. That you will come to repentance, dat jy tot bekering sal kom. Maar ek weet ouma is siek en ek weet eers God wil vir jou genees, ouma. Because my grandma, I promise you, and I said with all respect, but she started to get blue in her body, in her face. She was on the verge. It was about an hour. My family said to me, I must go in because I'm now the pastor, you know, so I must obviously do now the spiritual stuff, you know. I don't know why they always call the pastor when there's something going wrong, you know. It's amazing how people never acknowledge God until the airplane wants to fall. Then the atheists scream, oh my God, where are you, you know. Have you seen that? You know, it's always like amazing. People suddenly realize there's a God when the airplane falls. But in any case, so yeah, family is tense. Everybody's tense. I go in. She's very sick. She's got cancer. And I say, Oma, I want to pray for you. But you know what? Jesus loves you. You need to have a relationship with Him. That day in the hospital, Jesus healed her completely from cancer. The next morning, she walked out of that hospital free from any sickness. Jesus healed her. The sad thing was, that day, I said to her, can you pray? Can we now pray? After he healed her, he said, can I pray for you? Do you want to know this Jesus? And she said to me, no, my heart is too hard. And I said, Oma, but why would you reject the love of the King of Kings and the one who died on the cross for you? She said, no, but I don't feel worth it. I said to Oma, but that's not what it's about. He's placed worth, He's placed value on you. He's come to die for you. He's come to forgive your sins. He's come to set you free. She said, no, I just don't feel ready. And she walked off home. And I was so sad because I realized, well, God is not going to enforce Himself on her. He's not going to try and change her life. He just says, I love you. That's what He says to the world. He dies on the cross and He says, you can reject me or you can accept me. It's your choice. It's always going to be a choice. Today, you and I are making choices here today to come to God and to do things His ways or our own ways. Who's Lord of your life? And so 4 years after that, again, my grandma got cancer and she was lying on a deathbed again. I walked in to that room, closed the door. I chased all the family out. I said, Oma, remember what happened 4 years ago? This time, I don't know if I want to pray for your healing. But I know God wants me to pray for your healing. But more than that, I'm going to first this time talk about your salvation. Because you can't just use God for you. God has not come for you. Once you say yes and God forgives you, you start to serve Him. And that's the problem, Grandma, is you don't want to serve God. You want to serve yourself. You want God to serve you. And I had to speak very straight to her. She couldn't speak properly. That day in August, a couple of years ago, I remember her lip het nog so gebewe. And then she said, you know what? She said, my sassie gesê. She said, sassie, weet jy? Ek wil die Here aanvaar in my lewe en ek is bereid om Hom te dien. We prayed the sinner's prayer together. Said, Jesus, come into my heart. I don't have anything to give to you, but I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And that morning, 10:15, we prayed that prayer. And 10:18, she died. And I said, thank you, Lord. She's serving you today in heaven. Thank you today, Lord. 3 minutes of her life here on earth, she served you. And now she's going to serve you. She's going to be with Jesus. And you know, I'm telling that story today because this scripture says God has got so much promises. God has got so many things. But you know, he's saying to us today that each one of us, we need to step out of our comfort zones. And then we need to say to God, God, you are not here today to serve me, but I'm here to serve you. I don't want to come to the end of my life and then have 3 minutes. 3 minutes of reality of what life is about. 3 minutes of what eternity is about. And then suddenly realize I've messed up my whole life. And that gracious God, the loving, unforgiving God still comes. The forgiving God, he comes and he sets us free. Because you know, he's a gentleman. He only comes when you invite him. But he's standing at the door of the hearts of believers and of unbelievers today. And he knocks and he says, if you open up, I'll come in. And you know what then? What we'll do is we'll have a feast. You and I will have a feast together and we'll eat. But I want to eat of you and then you need to come and eat of me. We're going to have a feast together. There's a place at the table for you, but you need to come in. You need to invite me and then you need to go and sit. And then you need to realize you've got nothing to give except then just to say, Lord, here I am. Place worth on my life. Jesus has made me worthy. And now I give that worth back to him. We call it worship. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for my sin. Worthy is the Lamb. And I want to challenge you today to come out of your comfort zone. I want to challenge you today to come onto the page of Jesus Christ and say to him, Lord, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. I want to challenge you to ask God and say, Lord, and maybe there's some people here, we're going to pray for people today that needs to get filled with the Holy Spirit, because these were believers, they knew Jesus, but they didn't know the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to turn your life around, but it's going to change your life, but it's not going to make sense to you at all, because when you come to the things of God, it doesn't make sense. You want to run away, you want to be Nazareth, but when God says there's a promise, hey, it's because it's the best for you and for me. Because he wants us to know that the Holy Spirit is not there for us. It's for the community out there. So that the whole Worcester can know there are people that begin to speak their language, that knows their needs, and then the whole Worcester turns around. Because God has sent the promise. A promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A promise in the middle of harvest time, the feast of Pentecost. Because the harvest is ready. That's why God joins us together. That's why God makes us have great church experiences for one purpose, so that the world can know he died on the cross one day.